the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and all I say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through God's love and power. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be come to comfort the sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Christ exalting, self abasing, for this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus, as onward I must go. May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By his love and power controlling all I do and all I say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through God's love and power. May the mind of Christ live in me.
Well, it's been a joy to be here. Last night, I told your pastor, I said I really cut up too much last night. Honestly, I'm not like that. You brought it out of me last night, and so God's going to judge you for that. And so hopefully tonight that won't happen. But I do have a couple jokes for you. A fellow worked all of his life saving his money and saved every penny. And so he talked to his wife before he died. He said, listen, I'm getting older. I've been saving my money. I said, when I die, he's telling his wife, he said, I want you to put all of that money and I want you to put it in my casket. She said, put it in your casket. She said, I want every dime. I've saved all this money all my life. I want you to put it in my casket. I want you to go in the grave with me. He said, I want you to promise it. She said, okay, I promise. Well, he lived several more years. And, of course, finally he died. He died before his wife. And the funeral was going on. Casket was there. Casket was open there. Funeral usher's about to come down and close the casket. She said, wait a second. She got up from her seat and came over to the casket. She had this shoebox. She put the shoebox inside the casket. She went over and sat back down. One of her girlfriends sitting right next to her, she says, you didn't. You didn't. Hey, he listened. She looked over and says, hey, he made me promise. I kept my promise. She said, you put all of that money he saved all those years into that casket? He said, yep. He says, what I did is when he died, I took all of his money, went to the bank, and put it inside the bank, and I wrote him a check. You didn't think that was funny, Brother Painter, did you? Are you laughing on the inside? Okay, that's what I thought. Since you're laughing, I got one more for you then. All right? Then I'm going to get preaching, all right? A Bible study group leader came together with his group, and he asked this question, doing a Bible study. He says, what would you do if you only had 4 weeks left before Judgment Day? One man piped up real quick. He said, man, I would go soul winning throughout the entire community, and I'd hit every street and tell people about Jesus Christ. And the group leader said, man, that's wonderful. Another lady raised her hand. She says, you know what? I would serve my church harder than I've ever been before, and I'd go to every family in the church, try to do something for them if I only had 4 weeks. Another guy in the back raised his hand. He says, I'd move in with my mother-in-law for the last 4 weeks. The group leader looked at him and said, move in with your mother-in-law for 4 weeks? He said, yep. He said, I moved my mother-in-law for 4 weeks because that would be the longest 4 weeks of my life. Oh, man, I thought that was so funny. Some of you guys can't laugh because you're sitting next to your wife, but that's okay. Anyway, praise the Lord. You know what mixed emotions is, don't you? Seeing your mother-in-law go over a cliff in your brand new Buick. Okay, well, the Spirit of God's moving. I see that right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Grab your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Anyway. Hey, listen, I love my mother-in-law. She lives 2,000 miles away. I married a preacher's kid, so I married well. But anyway, I'm not near my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Don't see them very often. Good people, though. Anyway, those are jokes, by the way. Those are not real life. Everyone knows they have good mother-in-laws. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. All right, I'm ready to go. Hey, we're going to pray and then we'll run. All right, y'all okay so far? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for what we've heard already. Thank you that we can come together as a church family. Would you please now bless your word? Give us now what you want. Lord, bless this church, the Faith Baptist Church, Father, as they get ready for their missions conference commitment. Lord, would you have this church to be able to do more for missions this year? And Lord, again, we appreciate what you've done for us. May we again show that appreciation by our giving. Now, Father, please use us tonight. Give us the words to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, church family, listen, I know I often say that. My wife says I shouldn't, but I try my best not to be long because I want to tell you something. I grew up in a Christian home, and I've had preachers preach before that gave new meaning to the word eternity. So I'm very conscious of that as far as preaching, and again, I try my best to keep things moving. I want to give you what the Lord has, but I'm not going to keep you here. And you came out on Monday night, and I appreciate that very, very much. Tonight's message, though, is a little bit different. I don't feel like I'm a teacher, and by any sense of the imagination, I know teaching is inside of preaching. But tonight is really, it's instructional to a degree. And I'm not going to bore you tonight. I'll do my best. I gave you a card tonight because what you have in your hand, that's the message tonight. What is faith promise? I believe that definition is very clear, very, very clear in 2 Corinthians 8, and I want to explain that tonight. Faith promise is giving to God through missions by faith because of love out of what God has provided me. And I want to talk about that for just a little bit tonight. If you're new to faith promise tonight, I want you to understand faith promise is not something that the Baptist church thought up to be able to try to figure out how to raise finances for missionaries. It's a biblical principle. Our two premier passages that we use for faith promise is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and Philippians chapter number 4. We often use those and they're very very clear as far as our giving. And Lord permitting, I'll use Philippians 4 tomorrow night. But I want to look through just the first few verses here of 2 Corinthians 8 and explain as well as preach what faith promise is. All right, we believe, you believe, that in order to get the gospel to the world, we need to send missionaries. And one way we do that is we give to missions, and then our church divides that money up and gives to the missionaries that we support, that they might be able to go over, just like Iceland tonight, very well explained as far as needing a gospel witness there. Now, I want to start in 2 Corinthians 8. We'll walk through this, again, teach as we go. But look at chapter 8, verse number 1. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. He's writing to this church, and he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. In other words, we do you to know. This is what I want you to know. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's not talking about the grace of God on Corinth. He's talking about the church, the grace of God, the graciousness. That's what the word grace means. The graciousness of God, how God poured out his blessings upon these churches of Macedonia. And then he's explaining about these churches. All right, look what he says next, verse number 2. How that in a great trial of affliction. All right, and again, these churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They didn't have much, but they gave much. Verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. In other words, they gave beyond what they could because God gave through them. They were willing of themselves, verse number 4, praying us, all right, the person that was praying is the people from the church of Macedonia, praying us, the missionaries, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship, that means partnership, of the ministering to the saints. All right, now, just let me just stop for just a second here. Brother Shaver here is going to Iceland. Lord permitting, if God allows your faith promise to grow and God allows you to support him, you're going to be giving to the missionary to be able to minister to saints that are going to be saved and maybe saints that are already there. And God's going to use Brother Shaver to minister to those saints. By the way, you have a pastor here that ministers to the saints. All right, that's what he's doing. All right, so he's preaching from this pulpit to minister to you. And that God has allowed the the autonomy of the local church to be able to take care of our pastor so the pastor can feed us. Now, what we're doing is we're helping him be able to minister to saints somewhere else by our missions giving. All right? Look what he says next, verse number 5. And this they did, this, the church of Macedonia, this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, your pastor's preached on this, I believe, recently, maybe this last Sunday. And he says, I sent Titus to you at the church of Corinth to teach you this same grace also. He was talking about the grace of giving that the church of Macedonia did by praying us with much entreaty to take the gift as the missionary to go minister to saints. Are you all with me so far? Say amen. All right. Now, I know this is such a, at missions conference, you probably hear this a lot. It's good for us to be reminded that what we're doing is biblical. Okay? There's a lot of things that we do out of preference, but this is something the Lord teaches as a principle of giving. Look what he says next in verse number 7. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, and then he's going to name some things, all right? Character, Christian graces, whatever you want to call them. In faith, in other words, abound means to superabound, means to be in excess. In faith and utterance, giving the gospel out. And knowledge, knowing the word of God. And in all diligence, that's their work. And in your love to us, see that ye abound in, what's the last three words, verse number 7, say them out loud, last three words together. This grace also. All right, I know this. I know for some of you tonight, you've been saved thousands of years. You understand, well, not thousands, but you've been saved a long time. You understand that this is talking about their giving to the missionary. This grace also, grace giving. All right, so look what he says next in verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. All right, in other words, their giving, talking to the church of Corinth, your giving shows your love. Now, tonight, I want to walk through these verses and again pinpoint with you for just briefly tonight that this is what we do with Faith Promise. All right, you got that card in front of you tonight. We're going to look at that first phrase tonight. What is Faith Promise? Faith Promise is giving to who? All right, now, let's see what the Bible says. Look back at your Bible, verse number 5. In verse number 5, it says, and this they did not as we hoped. All right, now, Paul is talking here. He said, this they, the church of Macedonia, did not as we hoped. Now, church, let me think for a second here. What did Paul hope for? Paul hoped that they would give to the ministering of the saints. Are you with me so far? All right, so Paul said, this they did not as we hoped. What we did hope as a missionary is that they would have this offering that was going to be given to the saints, that they would. Their hope was is that people would give. But he said they didn't do like we hoped. They did beyond what we hoped. Look what they did in verse number 5. It says, but this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to who? Gave themselves to the Lord. Now, church family, you say, I thought this was about giving to missions. Church family, you know as well as I do, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in other words, if God has you, He has your money. If God has you, He has your missions giving. Okay? Now, we all understand, again, we're just getting the basics here of a faith promise. We all understand the Monday night crowd, Faith Baptist Church, you're very well established. But let me say the obvious. Your faith promise is not your tithe. Not your tithe. My tithe doesn't belong to me. All right? My tithe belongs to God. Missions giving is an offering. It's above my tithe of what I'm going to give. I don't count that as my tithe. I give that as my offering. Now, church family, I wish I could illustrate better with you, but think for just a second here, okay? My situation is different than most of your situation, and here's the reason why. At my church, at Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas, the church treasurer knows that if my offering is not in the offering plate, they come find me. All right? So in other words, if for some reason I got done, my mind was on preaching, and I go to the service, I don't have my tithe and offering in my pocket, and a service takes place, when they go to count the money, if mine's not in there, it's funny because the financial secretary and the assistant financial secretary. The assistant financial secretary is head of security in our church. I hate it when he comes because he comes with a gun on his side. And he'll come to say, hey, listen, we didn't see your offering in there. And then he pats his gun. Like he's reminding me. All right. I just forgot. I've got it. Trust me. Okay. Now, you know, it's funny because I tell people that. But, you know, what would happen if your tithe and offering was not in the offering plate and they sent the financial secretary to you? Uh-oh. Awful quiet in here. But church family, if my offering's not in there, it's because I forgot. It's not because I deliberately didn't pay my tithes and offerings to God. Right. Church family, you know what we think? Hey, I don't like churches because they talk about how they need to give to the church. You are not giving to the church.
Right.
You're giving to God.
Amen.
That's why I tell the financial secretary, if it's not in there, you come tell me because I'm not robbing you, I'm robbing God. I want to make sure it's in there. Do you know what missions is? We get this idea that missions giving is you're giving to Brother Sage here so he can get to Mexico. Just say, I'm giving to God.
Amen.
And when you get to the idea of this missions faith, the Faith Promise Missions Conference, that well, he says it very, very clearly that the first thing they did is they gave themselves willingly to the Lord.
Yes.
It goes back to last night's service when I come to when you start to make your commitments on. When are you doing your commitments, Brother Angel? Sunday? When you come to the place where you do your commitments, church family, this is not so you can stand before the service so everybody knows what you're giving. This is between you and the Lord. And you're coming to God and saying, God, this is what I want to give, and all that I have belongs to you. I am giving this to you. Hey, I don't get upset. You know, church family, we have, I should have checked before I came, we have 90 plus missionaries that we support at Heritage. And church family, I be honest with you, over the years, there have been some people that, some missionaries that some of our church family have recommended to support. And I, me personally, I might not have. But because I'm part of a body, I support them all.
Amen.
Because if the church votes to take on a missionary, it's my missionary.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because the church is a body of believers.
Amen.
So can I tell you, it doesn't bother me what missionaries we support or don't support, which ones are maybe doing more, which ones are doing less. Because my giving is not to the missionary. My giving is to God.
Amen.
So here, Paul, first thing he tells us about the church of Macedonia is that they gave themselves to the Lord. Tonight, can I tell you, that's really the first place? You make sure God has you. God, here I am. Whatever you want. It's not about the money. It's about you being God having you. Look what he says next. Now, so the first thing of faith promise, giving to God. Look at the next thing. He says, and again, I'm picking up verse 5 again. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto, what's the word? Now, I'm going to back up to verse number 4, and I want you to pick out all the pronouns mentioned in verse 4 and 5. Are you ready? Praying, what's the word? With much entreaty that would receive the gift and take upon the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this did, not as hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto by the will of God. How many? I didn't count them. How many did you count? Okay, you didn't count? Good. Did you, six of them, haven't you counted? You counted. Good job. Did you really count those? Is he right? Was there six? Come here, son. Six. I'm impressed. Six. Was that worth $20 to you? Are you allowed to have that? Is your dad here?
No.
Your dad's not here?
He's out fixing the freezer.
Good. Don't tell him. All right. Church family, why did he use the word us and the word we and the word they? I want to tell you why. Because Paul had missionary companions. When Paul was talking about us, he was talking about me and the other missionaries. Paul was often in a company of missionaries. You heard Brother Shavers say it's not a family thing. He's going to work with another missionary there in Iceland. All right. So what is he going to do while he's in Iceland? Is he is going to be part of a company of missionaries. All right. Now, what I want you to notice tonight is the last three words of verse number 5 again. It says that when they gave with themselves willingly unto the Lord and unto the missionary by the what? So what is faith promise? Faith promise is giving to God through missions. All right? Why? It's the will of God. All right? Brother Shaver, come here for a second here, okay? Thank you for a second here. I'm going to try something else here, all right? Since you guys woke up when I pulled money out, I know now how to keep your attention tonight. All right? Listen, every time you give to missions, what happens, this guy's already got his hand. Come right here. Okay. No, turn this way a second. Every time you give to missions, what we don't see is we don't see the people they're ministering to. So what happens in my local church, the offering plate comes by, and I'm giving to God. My local church gives to the missionary, and that allows the missionary to be able to minister to people. All right. So what does faith promise? It's me giving to God through, I use the word missions, but through the missionary. I'm giving to God, but how am I giving it to God? I'm giving it through the missionary to be able to minister to saints.
Amen.
To be able to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith promise, what is it? Number one, it's giving to God through missions. All right? Thank you. Could you stay close to the front if you don't mind? I'm going to use you here in probably just another second or two. Now, look at the next thing I want you to see. It's by faith. You say, where is the faith factor in this? Well, look at verse number two. It says, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep what? Abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now, what caused these churches in Macedonia to do what they did when they didn't have anything? I want to tell you what it was. It's called faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, but he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's rewarded them that diligently seek Him. Our faith is shown by our action, just like we give our faith promise. The action of your giving shows your faith. Church, I want to tell you something. If you wait till you have enough money to give, you will never give. We live in a society today that we always need something or our money is going somewhere every time. You know, again, I know that you can't do this, but at the Heritage Baptist Church, the Heritage Baptist Church writes me a check for salary. So when I give my faith promise, it's real simple. I increase my faith promise, they make me a lesser check. Now, when that church family gets the business meeting report, it shows both the amount that the people give me as my faith promise as well as my salary. But some of the church family really doesn't know what I give, per se. Years ago, I might have said something that they would not know. But in my faith promise, I give a large amount, in my opinion, for the size family we have. And so when I have my October commitment, I just raise my faith promise, and then they lower my salary. Now, church family, so the amount that I'm giving out, again, I get all my money. It's not a matter that I don't get that money. I write them another check. That check comes in. I just move my checks around, my check gets moved around. That decision is made, and once it's made for that year, it stays that way for the year. All right? Now, I don't know how, you can't do that at your work. You can't say, hey, send my faith promise to Faith Baptist Church. All right? No, most people cannot do that, okay? So you have to physically write a check. But here's what I'm trying to say. With my faith promise paid, I can't touch that money. What happens to the average Christian is he gets his salary check from work, and then he looks at all these bills that he has, and then what happens, he tries to figure out, how am I going to pay all these bills and still pay my faith promise? I want to tell you how you do it. You pay your tithe and your faith promise first, and then what you have left over, that's how you pay your bills.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, how do I do that? It's how everybody does that. Church family, I still have a car payment, just like so many of you have a car payment. I still have a mortgage payment, just like you have a mortgage payment. Can I tell you, we're all the same in this area that we have bills. We've got medical bills or dental bills. There's things that we have to take care of in our life. But what you have to come to the conclusion is this, is that God's going to show you what He's supposed to give. And I'm going to get to this point in a minute, because faith promise is not giving something you don't have. Just say that right off the bat. So what happens is faith promise is me giving to God through missions by faith. What's the faith part? The faith part is that God's going to take care of my needs. All right, and He will, by the way. All right, look at the next part. The next part is giving to God by faith. I'm sorry, giving to God through missions by faith because of love. Now I want you to notice in verse 7 and 8, here's what he says, verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of others. And to prove what? Say it now. The sincerity of your love. Look at verse 24, same chapter. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of what? Proof of your love. Proof of your love. That word prove means the test of your love. In other words, what do you love? Hey, listen, this is a Monday night crowd, so again, if I make a statement, I don't really think it's applicable maybe to everybody in this room or maybe to nobody in this room. But there's a lot of people who prove what they love by what they spend their money on. You know, I got guys in my church. I live in Lawrence, Kansas, and that's where Kansas University is. Now, I don't keep up with college sports. I love playing sports, but I'm not a big person. of following sports. Because I live in Lawrence, Kansas, I'm for the Kansas Jayhawks. Okay, and so I don't know what you are, what you're for, but to be honest, it doesn't matter to me because I'm not really into, you know, who won that. People, they tease us all the time. But Kansas, one thing good about Lawrence, Kansas is the Kansas Jayhawks are usually in the number one bracket. I'm not bragging, but anyway. But I've got guys in my church who will spend hundreds of dollars for one seat on the court when KU is playing. Okay, well, they're telling me what they love.
Yes, sir.
I've got a guy in our church. I have no idea how many guns he's had, how many guns he owns. But if there's a war, I'm going to his house. I am not lying. I mean, he's got all kinds of guns and things. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But you know what? I can tell you what he loves. I can tell you what he loves. You know, there's just something about what we spend our money on shows what we love most. You just got to get to the place where you're going to prove to God, hey, listen, I'm going to keep the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. I'm going to keep the second greatest commandment, love your neighbors yourself. And guess what? I'm going to tell you who your neighbors are. It's the world. And it's a world that's in Iceland that are immoral, ungodly, wicked, no desire for God, and are on their way to hell. And I know that you can't go shake their hand or give them a hug, but I understand this. You know how we show God that we love those people? Is when we give, just like the Church of Macedonia, when they gave to the ministering of the saints, I can't be where you are and I can't see you, but I can help you. I want to tell you something. Brother, I think Brother Shaver is the real deal. What do you think? I think he is. I think he's going to be a steady Eddie. I know sometimes you've got to be careful when we say what somebody's going to be before they get there. But I'm going to tell you something. Missionary work is plodding work. Where you just keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. Listen, that's how you show me love. Now, here's the last thing of that definition. You've got that card in your hand. All right, why don't you say it with me tonight, all right? I want you. We're the last one now. I want you to say the whole card with me. Ready? What is faith promise? Together? Faith promise is giving to God through missions, by faith, because of love. When I was a young person, we didn't, I don't know if Dad promoted missions, but I don't know if it was necessarily he had conferences and that. But I do remember as a young person that people, when they would come through on missions, they would often say that faith promise was making a promise and then having faith for God to provide it, okay? And what their idea was is that, you know, if you made $500 a week and God told you to write down $1,000 a week in your missions, that's what you were supposed to do. I don't believe that for a second. Now, I want to tell you why I don't believe that. Look at your Bible here. Look at your Bible and look around verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, verse 10, for this is expedient. The word expedient means advantageous. It's advantageous for you. It's expedient for you. Who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Now, church, I mean, when he talked about being forward a year ago, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church because they had made a commitment a year ago of what they were going to give to the ministering of the saints. Okay, are you with me so far? Why do we do a faith promise in that your commitment is only good for 1 year? It's a Bible principle from 2 Corinthians 8, and actually I think it's in chapter number 9 too, in verse number 2, 9, chapter 9, verse number 2. For I know that forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Can I tell you, if you get into a situation where you make this commitment and you think, man, this is going to be a lifelong commitment, I just don't know if I can do it. Well, you don't need to think that way. It's for this coming year. This is what I'm committing to give the faith promise for this coming year. Now, I want you to notice the next verse. Are you ready? Look at verse number, chapter number 8, and look down at verse number 11. 8, verse number 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. In other words, what they committed a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, in other words, you wanted to, there's a readiness to will, so there may be a performance, the word performance being completion, a performance also, hey, say it with me, this is good. Start with the word performance, say the rest of the verse. Together, ready? Performance also out of that which ye have. And you know what, it's interesting, that phrase, out of that which ye have, you know what it means? That which ye hold. Look at the next verse, this is a powerful verse too, verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man what? Hath, and not according to that he hath what? All right, so church, I don't know where you're at, and again, I want to be careful. I don't think I'm doing anything Brother Angel would not teach here, but I want you to understand that God's not going to tell you an amount to give the faith promise that you don't already have coming in. I know that shakes a lot of people. That, you know what they did for me? It took all the nervousness out. It took all the nervousness out. When I figured out, and by the way, I did not know this until I was an adult, because all my teen years I thought, man alive, I'm just not ready to commit something that I don't even know if it's going to be there, and because I don't know if I've got enough faith that it's going to show up. Faith promises in that way. So let's say you are making $500. Your tithe on $500 is how much? $50, okay? So how much money do you have? Okay, I can make you a promise. God's not going to tell you to give more than $450 to faith promise. All right. Now, by the way, and I don't believe God's going to tell you to give $450. Here's what I think God does to a person. Now, this is Scott Hanks speaking, okay? I think God grows your faith personally, okay? So some of you are here. Maybe let's pretend tonight that there's some of you in here, you've never given a faith promise, okay? So let's say you're the person, you make $500, you give your tithe, always give your tithe. Don't ever mess that up, okay? But let's say you got $450 left. You're starting to pray, okay, God, I don't know, this faith promise is new to me, but I want to give to missions. I do want to reach those in Iceland. You commanded me not only to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but the uttermost part of the earth. So if I'm going to be a witness and fulfill the Great Commission, I got to somehow reach those people in Iceland. I know I'm supposed to give, but God, how am I going to do that? I've got all these bills. Now here's what you're going to do. You have to do is giving to God. Remember, this is not my money. Through missions, I need to give to the missionary effort of the Faith Baptist Church. Giving to God through missions by faith, okay? I look at all my bills and say, man alive, how am I going to do this? God, you see what I've got? It's all going out. But I will take a step. Show me what you want me to give. I'm willing to take that step of faith because of love. I want to do that love thing. Love makes us do strange things. Do you love her? Does he love you? Are you engaged to her?
Yes.
Huh, you must love her. You going to marry her? That'd be a good idea. Huh. Does he ever spend money on you? Oh. A lot of money? Yeah. How personal should we get here, amen? Church, you remember when you were dating your wife? The wife-to-be? You remember the things that you did for her? You'd spend money on your wife that you'd never spent on anybody. You know why? Because you loved her. Just remember, there's people dying and going to hell. You get to be in heaven forever. You know what causes us to get the faith promise? There is a hell. Now listen now. The last phrase is what really sums it all up. Faith promise be given to God through missions by faith because of love out of what God has provided me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, God, what do you want me to get a faith promise? I believe God will show you personally. I do believe that, okay? You have not because... James 4:4. You have not because you ask not. I believe if you've been asking, you might not know the first few times you ask. I think you've got to keep asking sometimes. I've been there before. I've been all the way up to the time that our commitment is going to be given. I think, God, I'm not sure about this. But I know one thing. It's always out of what I have. And church, I'm not one of those people, you know, if you just sacrifice a pop a week, you know, if you do that, that's fine. There's no problem with that, okay? But I think it just needs to be, okay, God, this is your money. Tell me what you want me to give. And I think he'll show you. And it's always out of what you have. Is Jeff in here? Jeff Reardon in here by any chance? Okay, I'm sorry. He had to work. I'm sorry. Jeff came and picked me up. Jeff and I went to school together in my first year of school. So this was years and years and years ago, and I had not seen him since. Jeff picked me up from the airport. Does everybody know who Jeff is in here? Okay. Oh, yeah. Isn't it fun to talk about people when they're not here? So Jeff and I roomed together at college. And the other guy that was with us, he worked for an ambulance company, and he had insomnia. You'd come home at all hours of the night, he'd be sitting up in his bed just wide awake. Weird. But Jeff and I, so I hadn't seen Jeff in years. I mean, to be honest with you, I cannot remember the last time I saw him. Truthfully, it might have been college. I hadn't seen. So Jeff shows up to pick me up from the airport, and you've got to remember the last time I remember seeing him was a college student 30 years ago. So when Santa Claus showed up, I was shocked. I opened the door and saw all that white hair, and I said, whoa! I couldn't believe it. He looks the same, but all that white hair I just was shocked about. Okay, so Jeff and I, we were catching up on everything back from the airport. I mean, we were just having a good time, talking about his family, talking about his children. We got the same backstory, so we really had a good time. But, you know, I was talking about Jeff, and I said, you know, because Jeff was here in the early days. I mean, before you were here, if I remember correctly. And Brother Starr was here. And Jeff was here, and I remember Jeff saying this on the way back to the airport. He said, you know, it was interesting because when Brother Starr had come, there was a lot of bills that had to be paid. And he said, the one thing that transformed the church, they were not supporting any missionaries. Now, I'm going on what Jeff was telling me. They weren't supporting any missionaries. And they had no money, and they had tons of bills. Brother Starr told Jeff this. Jeff was telling me this on the way back to the airport, from the airport. He said, Brother Starr was advised that if the church was ever going to get out of debt, then he had to take on missionaries immediately. And he said that when they started taking on missionaries, the Lord started taking care of all the bills. Amen. Church family, the roots to your church is faith, promise, missions.
Absolutely.
The roots to your church. Man, isn't it a wonderful thing to have this new auditorium? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to have... Church family, I was outside with Pastor Angel last night, and I was walking back to the car and said, Brother Angel, I've got to ask you a question. I said, about 10 years ago, you told me you had a plan on how you would like to get the church out of debt, and it was going to take you about 10... It was actually going to take 12, if I remember correctly, around 12 years. This was 10 years ago. I said, did it ever happen? I am so envious right now of you, it's bad. He said, you know, it did, this last March. Fisherman, do you understand why you're out of debt? Oh, it's because Brother Angel had a plan. Hey. You know, and I know, the reason you are out of debt is because of Faith Promise Mission. Because there's something about giving to the mission field that God says, I'm going to take care of the home front. Every time. When I came to Heritage, 24 people voted me into Heritage 25 years ago. 24 people voted me into Heritage. When I came to Heritage in those early years, we every week I had to figure out what bills to pay because we owed so many. We were $50,000 in debt. And that was not the mortgage. I mean, it was $50,000 in debt. And there was not enough money. I had to go to every one of the creditors in the church. I'm sorry, every one of the creditors in the community and say, we will pay the debt. But it's going to just take me time. So every Sunday night, the financial secretary would sit with me every Sunday night. I had all the bills laid out every Sunday night. And we would go through, okay, this one's the most pressing. We've got to send something at least to this one. And I'm telling you what, it was a nightmare for years. But you know what we started doing? We started giving the faith promise. And we went from 7 missionaries when I came, now 90 plus missionaries. But every year we take on more missionaries, take them on during the year, we take them off at missions conference. And I'm telling you something, church family, all those debts are gone. I remember burning the church mortgage with all the men in the front. And since then, we built some more, and you have another small mortgage, but now that's why I'm so envious. You guys are taking care of yours, but we got out of debt. You know why? Because of giving a faith promise.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how you all are here now that you're debt-free, but you know what? There was a day that we had to scramble. Our mortgage was $3,500 a month for our mortgage right now. And I'm telling you something, to come up with $3,500 a month was a killer sometimes. But now it's like, this last week, somebody put $14,000 in the offering plate. I wish I could find them. I love them. I know, and you know, faith promises giving to God through missions by faith because of love out of what God's provided me. And you know what God does for you? God gives back more than you ever thought about giving to Him. And He does not just do that collectively on a church level. He does that individually on a personal level. And we don't give to get, but it serves a blessing as we give, God gives to us. So tonight, if I can just encourage you tonight, understanding what faith promise is, we're nobody. We've got a great God.
Sure.
And I just have to come to the conclusion that these missionaries that have come for this conference, they need support. And if we're going to get them to the field, all of us need to make sure we do our part. And I'm not giving to them, I'm giving to God. But I'm going to do it through missions. And it's because I'm going to have faith to believe God will supply my need. I'm going to have to do it because I love the people here, but I love the people around the world. And I have to give out of what God's provided me. Just think and pray. Lord will show you what He wants you to give. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight for just a moment? Would you ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give to Faith Promise this year? Maybe you're a teenager in here and the Lord gives you money and works some things out. Just ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to give?
Nothing needs to be said. Would you kneel and pray with me tonight, church? Would you kneel and pray and ask what God would have you do and just begin the process if you haven't already? Just the pressure, there's no pressure. Just do what God wants. And it couldn't have been put any more clearer tonight because it's right out of the Scripture. So would you kneel with me tonight if you can come to the front or the aisle or in your seat there. Would you kneel and just pray and ask what God would have you do as the ladies play? Outstanding. Clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. Can't be any more clear than that because it's right out of the book. You know, I was thinking as he was, because I preached from that text Sunday morning, same text. And people do get a little tense about giving. Have you ever stopped and considered the elements involved in biblical giving? Faith, grace, love, surrender, willingness. That's pretty deep, folks. My point is, you know, unspiritual people get offended about preaching on giving. You're talking about somebody's with you, because the elements involved in this, faith, grace, love, surrender, willingness, I mean, that's heavy-duty Christianity. And, you know, if it offends you, there's something wrong spiritually with you. Okay? And take the pressure off. You know, a dear brother came Sunday night And he said, when I came here to the church some years ago, he said, we'd never been taught anything about faith promise missions. And he said, back then we were encouraging, we took missionaries on for $50 a month. And so I would make statements like, you know, if you want to support one missionary family a month, $12.50 a week supports a missionary family $50 a month. And he said, we started out with a half a missionary, $6.25 a week, supporting a half a missionary. And he looked at me, just so excited, Wednesday night, Sunday night. He said, now I'm up to $85 a week, just a little bit over the years. And he's not missing it, because God gives it back. That's the promise of Philippians 4. You can't expect it back when you give to other things, but when you give to missions, you can expect it back. Somehow, some way. Somehow, some way. And so, you know, now we take missionaries on for $75 a month, so about $18.75 a week supports one missionary family a month. Don't be under pressure. Just do what God says. Just do what God says. And there's no pressure. It's out of what you have. It's not out of what you don't have. And like him, I heard that in the early days of being saved, where you just come up with a figure and trust God to give it. And, man, it was very confusing until I got to 2 Corinthians 8 and saw that this giving above the tithe is out of what you have, not out of what you have not. And so just take all the pressure off. The pressure is what he said last night. You give yourself to God completely. That's the pressure. When you get past that point, the pressure's off. Then God tells you what to do. Outstanding. Good. Really appreciate it.